Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Acts, chapter 7. We will start to think about Stephen's speech. It's a long speech, actually. This is the biggest sermon, the biggest sermon in the whole book of Acts. It goes until the end of this chapter 7. It goes to verse 53. But I think we will do better if we divide this sermon in at least two sermons. And we will understand better what Stephen is trying to teach and what we need to know about his sermon. So Acts chapter 7, we will read the verses 1 to 16, and this is what God says in His Word. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into his land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's land, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him. Though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine through all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob his father and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, and all our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had brought for a sum of silver from the sons of Haman in Shechem. Let's pray, and then let's think better about this sermon of Stephen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to study your Bible, to read your Bible. With the doors of this church open, we thank you, Lord, because we can hear your voice. And now, God, we ask you that may your Holy Spirit can speak to us individually and as a whole church. Teach us your word. Teach us who you are, and make us see the greatness of our God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are before the biggest sermon of the book of Acts. And we need to understand that the reason for this sermon stays in the book of Acts. It's not to show as many commentaries and pastors around the world think, it's not to show that Stephen knows a lot of the Old Testament. This is not the reason for this sermon stays here. I already saw many preachers and many people saying that Stephen was very good and he knew the Old Testament. He knew everything from the patriarchs, from the prophets of the past. And the reason for the use of this sermon is to show us that we need to know the Word of God in the Old Testament. And of course, this is true. But this is not the reason why he made this sermon. He had a purpose which every single verse of this sermon. And which is this purpose? We need to go back to chapter 6 and identify that he's trying to answer everything that they said he was guilty for. Look, they said in verse 10, actually in chapter 6, they said first in verse 9, verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit. And then verse 11, then they secretly instigate men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. This is the two first things that they said he was guilty of. And then we jump to verse 13, and in the second part they said, this man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. So now we are before the response of Stephen about these four problems, before these four accusations. They said he was speaking blasphemies against Moses. This is the first. He was speaking blasphemies against God. And he was speaking words against the holy place, the temple in Jerusalem, and the law. This is one accusation. And for the last one, he was speaking that Jesus Christ will destroy the temple and it will change all their customs. So, four accusations, and now Stephen needs to defend himself. He was arrested. He was before the high priest. And the high priest made him a question. Are these things so? So, are they speaking truth about you? Are they saying that you are blaspheming against God and the law and Moses? Are you speaking against the Jerusalem, the temple? And are you willing to change our customs? Is this your commitment? Are you trying to do that? And Stephen will answer. And the first phrase in verse 2 is already enough to show them that Stephen is trying to show the oppose of everything. Brothers and fathers, hear me. He's trying to make a connection with them. He's not talking to them as completely different people from him. He was saying, brothers, if you are my brother, the idea here is because we have the same Father. God is our Father, and now I can say, brothers, pay attention to my words. And when he say fathers, he was speaking about the leaders of Jerusalem. He was not saying, okay, I don't recognize you as my leader. I don't recognize you as the leaders of the people of God. He was saying, okay, God gave authority to you, and now I am talking to you as an authority. You are my fathers. But I need to say something to you, and I want to show you that all these accusations are lies. And then he starts to speak about Abraham. And it's very interesting that he could speak many things about Abraham, but he chose to say specific things about the ministry of Abraham and the relationship that Abraham had with God. He said, God, the God of glory, and this is, of course, a name of God that we are not usual to deal with, but if you go to some Psalms, you will see that in specific Psalms, they use the term God of glory to speak about their Father, about God, and he's making another connection here with the Old Testament. And he said, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. He was saying, look, God was speaking with his child Abraham in a completely different land than Jerusalem. He didn't spoke with Abraham in Jerusalem. He didn't spoke with Abraham in the temple. He spoke with him in Mesopotamia before he went to Haran. And Haran and Mesopotamia were not Jerusalem yet. So he was saying to them, can you see that the land, this land that you are now worshiping and recognizing as something extremely important to you, it's not the land that God is speaking with his people? This is temporal. And he was trying to show them that Jerusalem was something that would pass with time. But he continued in verse 3 saying, and say to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into a land that I will show to you. So they went to the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And only after the death of his father, he went to Jerusalem and lived there. But which is the purpose of all of this? Mesopotamia, Haran, and Jerusalem. The importance of this is, Stephen was saying, God, it's the Lord of everything. And not only the God of Jerusalem. God is the Lord of the whole world. There is no land in this world by which God is not king and ruler. This is extremely important for them to understand. Because by this time, the Jews already became idolaters of their whole holy city. They decide that the city was more important than everything. Because for a time, God lived in the temple. But this is not true anymore. Jesus said that, and Jesus showed while he was in Jerusalem that God was spirit and God was guiding his people to another direction. Actually, he preached to the Jews saying, you will not find salvation here anymore. You will not find salvation in this temple, in your tradition, or in everything that you are dealing with. The only thing that can bring salvation to you, it's me, he said. Jesus is the head of the body. He is everything for the church. It doesn't matter the land. Until today, people think that the land is very important. It's funny when we see these things happening. I already spoke with Shadesh one day, and he told me how in Turkey they changed all the sacred churches, the buildings and everything to different places, and they build new cities, a new temple, everything is different, because the tourists could come safe and they could visit the churches and everything. and everyone take pictures thinking, oh, I was in Laodicea, I was in Ephesus and in these holy places in which the church before was. And they think, oh, this is so beautiful, perfect. And then he said, yeah, but all those churches are in different places. They are visiting just things that man made for tourists. And the same thing happened in Jerusalem. They take pictures in the tomb of Jesus. And probably Jesus never went there. And they visit ways by which they say, oh, Jesus probably walked here. And he never probably walked there. It's everything for our minds. They are just making us confused. And they are just showing to the church today that they could or they should appreciate the Holy Land, Jerusalem, and all those things. It's interesting to see how believers in many different denominations goes to Jerusalem and they baptize again in the Jordan River as the first baptism, the only one actually, was not enough because they need to baptize in the Holy Land. There is special, there is different. Jesus was baptized here. And that never happened. It's just our mind making idols, worshiping places and things. This is false. God is not a Lord in one specific place. He's not working specific things. God is the ruler of everything. And now Stephen is telling them, look to God and realize that He's bigger than everything that you believe is important. He will continue speaking that about the covenant. Look what he said in the next verses. Verse 8, for example. And he said, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. All of these happened before the temple was built. So how could that happen? Of course, it's because the temple was not important by the time. Actually, the temple didn't exist. So why now you are saying to me that I should have commitment with the temple? Why should I have commitment with a specific place and I could not say anything against it? When Jesus went to the temple, He broke many things there because they were selling animals to being used for the sacrifice. But they were just making money there. They were using the church for their own benefit. They were using the temple for that. And that was happening not only outside of the temple, but the high priest by this time was probably the richest man in all Jerusalem because he received a lot of money from the commerce in the temple. They actually, by that time, they paid for this place being a high priest. It was a huge amount of money that some families in Jerusalem need to pay for the Roman Empire, and they would become the high priest of the temple in Jerusalem. So they were buying this office in the church. Everything was lost. We need to understand that. And Stephen was saying exactly that. But he continued in verse 5 saying, look, he was not living there. He didn't have the possession of this land. And actually, God said to him, this land doesn't belong to you. Actually, before this land belongs to the Jews, you will be slaves for 400 years in a different place. How can that happen? They are the people of God. They are the people of the land. And then God will bring them to Egypt for 400 years. And they will be slaves there. And surprisingly, God continued to speak with them in Egypt. God sent Moses. God sent prophets to them. God, in an extraordinary way, saved them from Pharaoh. He saved them from the king of Egypt. God is just showing his power around the world. Everywhere. It doesn't matter. The ruler, the country, the people. He is the God Almighty. Can you see that? Stephen was saying to them. Can you see that our God, it's not only here? Can you see that our God is not only in this temple? You are not the owners of God, Jews. That is what Stephen was saying. And we need to think about that. Because today we have a big problem about the Church of Jesus Christ. And this problem speaks about the same thing. I already found people from many different denominations. And surprisingly, they think that only in their denominations, only by their faith, only by their preachings, and by their sermons, you will find salvation. Oh, if you are not a Presbyterian, I will use my denomination. If you are not a Presbyterian, you will not find the real God, the real doctrine. Come on, where is this in the Bible? The Bible doesn't speak how Westminster spoke. The Bible is much more beautiful and profound than any kind of faith, of creed that we can create. The Bible is the Word of God. Our faith is based in the Scriptures and not in anything else. And God speaks to the Scriptures and to the Holy Spirit for whoever He wants. It's not this church or this denomination or other church or other denomination. God speaks as He wants because He is God. And He can do everything He wants. And Stephen was showing this to them. Why do you think, Jews, that we are the owners of God? Why do you think that we can say what God can do and what God cannot do? Why do you think you are the officers that will say what God can and what He can't make? We don't want to be in this position. The last people who stay in this position in the history of the church were the Jewish people, and now they are not found among the people of God anymore. This is what Scripture will tell us. And actually, this whole sermon will show us this situation. Here, God is moving His people from the Jews and saying, look, you cannot be saved anymore if you don't follow Jesus Christ. This is what He will affirm in the last verse of this sermon. He will speak about those things, and when He says that Jesus Christ is the only one by which they could be saved, they decided to kill Him. And why did they kill Him? Because they could not accept the idea of salvation doesn't belong to them. No, we decide who will be saved. We will decide, and you will not be saved. They said that to Stephen. The irony, we will be there the next time, but I am already speaking to you about that, is that when they are killing him, saying, "You don't belong to the church. You don't belong to the people of God." Stephen was looking to his God. This is amazing. He was looking to the face of Jesus Christ. By the same time that they were saying, "You are not saved." This is the irony of this text. But here he was saying, "Don't take care. Don't worry about places. We are not a people who will stay in places to worship." This is what the first 8 verses will teach us today. They are speaking to this church that your God is your God everywhere. You must praise His name and worship Him, not only when you are here with your friends, with your church, to celebrate His name. No. When you are in your home, dealing with your wife or your husband or your children, there is a place which belongs to God. It's not your house. It's not your land. It belongs to God. He is the king of your house too. And you need to praise His name there. You need to guide your family to God. You need to worship His name there. We must pray together in our houses too. We must sing praises to His name. This is everything we need to make our houses a house of worship. And the same thing in your job. The place where you work doesn't belong to the owner of the company or to anyone else. It belongs to God. And we must praise His name there too. And in your school, for those who are studying, when you are dealing with books, with papers, with many things to do, God is the ruler of that place too. He's the ruler of your professors. He's the ruler of everyone. So please God, think about Him. He is your Lord everywhere. And this is something that we forget. Somehow we forget. We think God is here and only here. Through these walls. And here we will find Him. And here we will praise Him. And He's watching us here. So we will behave well. But He's everywhere. God is not a God of a place. He's the God of the Word. The Bible says that He knows the name of all the stars. And He called them by name. Can you imagine that? Through our work as humans, we didn't know how many stars exist in the heaven. We have big telescopes. We have all the technology. And we don't know anything. And the Bible says, well, God called them by name. This is our God. He's great, He's powerful, He's the Almighty God. So don't think you can control your God. He's God, you are His servant. But he continues, he already spoke about one of the accusations here. Actually, two of the accusations. The first two accusations. You are blaspheming against God. And he's saying, no, I recognize God as my God. And I understand my God better than you understand your God. And he was saying, I am not speaking against the temple. I don't want to destroy the temple. I don't want to do anything. I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. But you need to see that this temple is not a place where we should worship God. We should worship God in ourselves everywhere. Every time of our life, our heart must praise the name of God. But then he continues. He goes to the patriarchs in verse 9, and he speaks about Joseph and his friends and his brothers, and they had jealous of Joseph, and they sold him to Egypt, and he became a slave there. And of course, we should never think that God could control the situations in Egypt. It's another country, it's another religion. They worship Pharaoh, they worship their leader, and all the other nature gods that they create. They had many gods, we know that. We can come back one day to the time when God killed all their gods through the 10 things that he made against the Egypt. But this is not our purpose today. But he was saying him, look to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He was the ruler over Egypt, but God was the ruler over him. He was a very important guy in Egypt. He could make everything he wanted. But God had a child in Egypt. His child's name was Joseph. And he made Joseph the most important guy in this country by that time. He was the responsible to take care of the food, take care of the government. He was dealing with everything, and Pharaoh was having parties probably. And he was the most important guy in that country. And surprisingly, in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, where Abraham was with the 70 people who belonged to his family, they were having problems there. There was no food in Jerusalem. They had problems to sustain themselves, to pay, to buy food, to find food in the fields. Everything around the world was terrible. And then Joseph looked to his family, and he takes his family from the Holy Land. Can you see? The Holy Land. It's not enough for his people anymore. He brought them to Egypt. Another place, another king, another gods. And in that place, in Egypt, God blessed them much more than they were blessed in Jerusalem. How can they think that their God is the God of one and only one place? Famine came through the whole world, and only Joseph was responsible to deal with that. He brought his family, 75 here, spoke in verse 14 by Stephen. He was counting with the family of Joseph. That is why you find 75 and not 70, as we find in the Old Testament. Because here Stephen was counting with the 5 who belonged to the family of God. So Joseph and his family now belong to God and not to Egypt, as they could think. And they went to Egypt. They lived there until the time they died there. And after they died, they brought their bodies to the Holy Land. But they will be just buried there. They didn't eat from that land anymore. They didn't use that land. They didn't make anything there. They were just buried there. And this is the purpose of the land in many places. You can't do anything because the land, it's died. And of course, he was using this to show them the meaning of everything he's trying to show here. The purpose of this land, it's not to guide us to God. We need to base our faith in something much bigger than a place. It's not a place, it's God who is important. And God is everywhere. So, We need to see that Stephen here, and we will not go further in those things today because we will need to enter in the other verses of Acts 7. But the thing that he's trying to show is that God, it's our God everywhere. And his God, it's now bringing their attention to the fact that he is fulfilling his promises. And his promises are not based in their places and in their traditions anymore. Their promises would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is the meaning, the real meaning of this sermon. Jesus is important now. Jesus is everything we need. So, we need to apply that for us today. We need to understand the meaning of this for ourselves. And we need to see that if he spoke in that to the Jews, he spoke in the same for us. Before you try to become a member of this church, for example, you need to think as yourself, as a member of the body of Christ. And a member of the body of Christ will be guided by Christ and only by Christ. You need to look to yourself and see and evaluate yourself and see if God is really your head. If he is your Savior, your Lord. If he is being your guide in this word. When you took your decisions, for example, I know everyone here already made decisions. And probably some of you are trying to decide something about your future right now. And I know this church is trying to decide her future right now. So, are you asking to God what he wants? Or are you asking to yourself what you want? I need to decide if I go to this school or to this school. Well, so many options, so many things that I can enjoy, but what God wants? What God wants for you? Is he guiding your decisions? Is he telling you where you should live or where you should, what you should do? Is he telling you what you need to buy to you and to your family? Before change your car, before move to another place, are you asking to God, oh God, do I need to change? Do I need to change my car? Or is this something that I should skip right now and use my money to other things? Can you see he needs to be your Lord. A Lord guides his servants. We must be guided by your Lord. Otherwise, he will not be your Lord. This is what he's telling them, Jews. You are not being guided by your Lord. You are breaking so many commandments. Why do you think God is your God? You are lying, making false accusations against me. You are lying, saying that you are worshiping your Lord because you don't know your Lord anymore. You don't know who he is, what he made. You don't praise his name anymore. The letters of your music doesn't make sense in your mind anymore. You are just singing, repeating many words, but they don't have any meaning to you because you don't know how to praise your name. They were guilty of all those things. But we cannot be guilty of those things. Can you evaluate your singing today? I know you sing well because I hear your voice here, but I didn't know what is in your heart. I don't know if you only repeat the words with me or if you truly sing to your Lord saying, how great you are, how great your word is, how great your deeds. You are my Savior and my Lord. Are you singing like that? Are you worshiping your God like that? Are you looking to the scriptures right now while we are studying it? And are you questioning your own heart? Are you talking with yourself, or are you thinking about other guys? Oh, I know that the Presbyterians, for example, they think that about themselves. I know these other, the Baptists, they think that about themselves. Or are you questioning your own heart? Because that God will speak with his people in other places, but God is speaking to you here right now. And if he's speaking to you, you should listen to his voice and you should change your ways to please his name, because he is your God. We can never come to church and go back home exactly like when we enter in the church. We should be different. We should be closer to God. We should be more saints. We should be better servants of the Lord. Because here is the place where the Lord speaks to his people. And while we are worshiping him, he's changing our hearts. And he's making his church better to serve him. And that will only happen when we decide to live completely different from the Jews here in Acts 7. And decide to live exactly like Stephen decided to live. He was not worried about his life. He was not worried about his body. He knew that probably they would die, kill him. He would be dead. But still, he decided to praise the name of the Lord with his works. I'm not saying that will be easy. I'm just saying that we don't have any other option. You can decide to avoid change your life today. If you do that, you are just saying what the Jews said: God, Christ, you are not my Lord. But we need to be different, because we are the people of the covenant, the people of God. God is speaking to us here today in Michigan, here at Walker URC. He's calling you to live to him. He will give you salvation. He will give to you his blessings. He will save you from yourself and from all your sins. But you need to respond to him, praising his name, taking your cross, and following him. This is the only response we can give to God. But we must stop. We will continue this sermon next time, and I hope to be able to show to you all the many greatness that God is bringing to his church to this sermon. Let's pray and let's continue. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that Stephen said that day. And thank you because we know that this is the word of God through the mouth of Stephen. And God, we want to be in your presence today as good servants. Oh God, we don't want to be fined like the Jews were found that day. We want to be in your presence with broken hearts. We want to confess your name, knowing that your name is the treasure of this world. We want to confess you and live our lives to you, because we know that
Nothing is more important than being your presence in this world. Help us, Lord. Help me. Help this church to live to you and to proclaim your name and to celebrate the salvation of the Lord. Change wherever you want on us. Kill our sins. Kill everything bad in our hearts, Lord. Destroy everything in our minds who make us live far from your presence. Help us to see the greatness of your word, the greatness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see the Holy Spirit changing us, sanctifying us, making us better, more like Jesus. Oh God, please make us exalt and praise your name with our lives. And bless us today while we are praising your name with your Holy Son and Holy Church. Bless us while we are singing, while we are praying, while we are devoting ourselves to you. And may we will see you changing your church. And may we will see your glory around us and through us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.